All right. Which one of you guys scheduled Halloween on a Thursday? Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, the Sports Ethos presentation, hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Welcome to our viewers on Twitter and on YouTube. And head on over to Discord, get the link in the show notes so you can get your questions answered. There's all sorts of fun stuff happening over in our Discord as well. And premium members, you guys get some perks over there. So get on into the Discord. And a real quick mention of our schedule. I think I butchered this in the last time we went live, but the way this is going, we're doing two episodes per day now on Fantasy NBA Today. We've got special segments, buy low, sell high. We'll be doing a week ahead show so you guys can get prepared for your upcoming week. We'll be doing that a little bit early in the week. And then we have live shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the morning or noon on the East Coast. And then Doc and Rick will be doing Sports Ethos After Dark. Don't know if we have trademarked that, but it's on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So try to get all of that squared away in your heads. And then let's quickly shout out our sponsors so we could get to all the fantasy news of the day. Basketball fans, it's that time of year again. The NBA is back from opening tip-off to buzzer beaters. This season, every game matters, as opposed to previous seasons. BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promos, and live in-game betting on all your favorite teams, along with every stat, matchup, breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the game. And it's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds on everything from football to MLB playoffs, NHL, and political props. Head to the website today to get on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello, Doc. How you doing?
I am here.
That's what I'm saying.
I made it to the microphone.
The big time.
Barely.
Yes. And I know you live in the mountains over there. And what was the over under on trick or treaters for you? Did you get one?
Zero. No, I didn't. Case in point, nobody ever knocks on my door. I live in a hole on top of a mountain at the bottom of a very steep, dark driveway. So nobody ever comes. Nobody comes down here.
Not one trick or treater.
The bug exterminator guy just knocked on the door. And my 17-year-old son is home, and I thought we were getting robbed. He's like, Dad, there's somebody at the door. Like, he's just not used to anyone ever being on our property. So I thought we were getting robbed, and then I got down there, and it was just the bug guy.
Yeah, you know who also does that? My dog. My dog acts like nobody's ever knocked at the door before. We had, 1,300 trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood last night. It's like a concert rock festival. I mean, you can basically get high walking the streets of our neighborhood. And it was a lot of fun. Some of the neighbors were kind enough to serve fireball shots. So the neighborhood got nice and toasty. And we just had a bunch of kids from the preschool over. So watching 4 and 5 year olds hand out way too much candy to each trick-or-treater that came across, that was just a lot of fun keeping track of all of that. So I hope you guys had a fun and safe Halloween out there. It was a strange night in the NBA because of that. I mean, there was 4 games going on. I don't know who watched what. I actually did get a good amount of film time in. And we're going to go through those 4 games, and then we're going to look ahead to tonight's action, which is substantial, and maybe even look ahead to some of the weekend games. So let's start in Milwaukee. The Bucks really tumbling, and I kind of saw this coming. Memphis, they ain't been playing great, but they get the 122-99 win. I think Giannis probably dodges a bullet with some of this stuff because he had 37 points, 11 boards, 4 assists, and he got the steal and block. It's probably the most important thing since we've been tracking that. 77% from the field, 22 attempts, 37.5% from the line in 8 attempts. That's a little ugly there. But Damian Lillard, it's been okay for him until this game. And then Brooke Lopez was a little bit of a no-show here. What's your concern level with this team right now?
Fantasy-wise, I'm not really worried about it. I mean, Giannis is doing what he does. Now, granted, if you look at rankings, he's at like 180. And it's all because he's not stealing the ball, blocking the ball, and he's making like 3 out of every 8 free throws, which is horrific. And Brolo has been pretty good all year till last night. And Lillard's been fine. They just don't play defense. I mean, as a contender in the East, they just haven't been the same since Drew Holiday left. And, you know, Dame doesn't play defense. So it's just is what it is. I mean, and here's the thing, though. They need to get it turned around and start winning games. Or then Giannis being questionable every single game is going to start leaving a mark, because they're not going to feel like they need to, you know, risk him being out there.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern with this team heading into the year, is if they get to a slow start, and this is officially a slow start, folks, 1-4. The only silver lining here is they haven't played that many home games. They're 1-3 away, so one home game so far. But the slow start and the Doc Rivers stuff and just the question of whether Giannis will be with the team. I forget where they're playing tonight or over the weekend, when their next game is, but I feel like teams are lining up to, I saw some tampering stuff. I think teams are having Greek Heritage Night every time Giannis is in town or something. But where is Giannis going to play? That's like the dogging this franchise. You know, from questions about ownership and coaches and it just all the way down through the chain, it just hasn't felt right there. And it does feel like there could be an exodus on the way. So does that hit this year? Is there, you know, does that tear at the fabric of the team? And Damian Lillard won a 12 in this game. That's not great in a game that they really kind of had to have a little bit, at least not a must win, but they kind of had to have it. What about players like Torian Prince and Gary Trent Jr.? Like, let me ask you the first question. How in were you on either of these players heading into this season, Prince or Gary Trent Jr.?
Zero.
Yeah, yeah. If you theoretically were on those guys, do you think that the dynamic has changed enough to drop them below a cut line? Or do you think that they're kind of are what they are and folks shouldn't worry about dips like this? I mean, Torian Prince, 2 of 8. He did get 4 steals into 3, so I think that kind of floated the line a little bit. Trent, 0-for-7 from 3, 9 points in a typical kind of empty Gary Trent stat line. Is this bailout if you're in a deep league with these guys?
I mean, it's hard. With the way things are going with this franchise, it's hard. I mean, Torian Prince and Gary Trent could be very heavily involved and what's going on a month from now. Like, if the Bucks keep losing, those guys may end up, you know, becoming the focal points. But for right now, I'm thinking, unless your league is super deep, you can find something better.
Yeah, I kind of hate leading off with the Bucks because there's just not a lot cooking there. So let's get on to the Memphis side here. So Ja, kind of a get-right game, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. He made 2 threes, a steal. He shot over 50%. Good free throw for last night. And then Santi Aldama, we'll get to him in a second. But how are you feeling about Ja? Like, does this game signal to Ja GMs that, hey, things are going to be pretty good this year? Or do we still need to see more from Ja?
Well, I'm just still in shock that he got off to such a slow start. You know, I thought he'd have so much pent-up energy and anger and revenge game that he would have come out of the gates absolutely on fire. So I was surprised about that. I'm not surprised he had a triple-double and a big game last night. He was due. I think the ultimate buy-low moment on Ja, that window closed last night.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much the he took a basketball to the foot while he was kind of in a, not a full stride, but a pretty good stride during the preseason, and it just nicked his foot, and it caused a little bit of an ankle issue, and I wonder if that sort of stopped all that momentum, and they just kind of played it slow. They've been playing it slow with Jaren Jackson Jr. He had 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 threes last night. Any concern level there?
I mean, guys are going to have bad games. I'm not going to freak out after one game.
All right.
But you know who hasn't had any bad games? It's Santi Aldama.
Ah, so yeah.
What do I know? No, I mean,
well, let me ask
Triple
you about
J Stanton. Just had off night.
I'm with you right now. I would like to see some consistency out of Jaron to kind of elevate him to the preseason, you know, prognostications that a lot of folks had. You know, as a late early round guy, third or fourth round kind of a guy. You can't have zeros across the board in those cash counting stats of the threes and the steals and the blocks. Santi Aldama, this has been one of the more fun things because so many of us have had Santi in the past on the back end of a roster. Just this at the beginning of last season when injury windows started opening up and he could have stepped through and he kind of didn't. And he's always just been on the fringe looking in. Now he's on the right side of the ledger and another good one last night, 19-9 with a steal and a three and 4-4 from the foul line. Okay. Is this going to be his line the rest of the year, you know, or is he going to be say top 100 the rest of the year? Should folks not drop Santi Aldama?
I mean, you can't drop him right now. Now, if he goes into a 2-game funk, unlike Triple J, then you can probably think about moving on. But right now, Aldama is basically a must-play guy.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be pretty much where I would stand on it. I might even give him more than 2 games, but unlike you, I'm a little bit more patient with the players and you're kind of turning and burning over there. What about Jalen Wells? That was a great 36-minute outburst, 16 points, 7 boards, 3 threes. Is this somebody you would take a chance on streaming in his next game?
I might, but last night was a 122-99 dominant blowout. So the chances of Jalen Wells doing it again in the next one are not, I would not say they're great.
Some other interesting notes from this game. Jay Huff showed up wearing the Kyle Kuzma pink sleeves. You got a lot of pub for that. Not so much pub for the 4 points, 2 boards, and 1 block in 17 minutes. There was a lot of momentum for Jay Huff out in kind of the fantasy chatter space. And I know personally I wasn't ready to kind of uncork the champagne for Jay Huff's arrival in fantasy leagues or anything like that. This would probably take the momentum and keep it to much deeper leagues, you know, 20, 30 team leagues. But are you getting any read that's different on the Jay Huff situation, or are you just not even there with the Jay Huff situation?
I mean, he's intriguing. I'll keep an eye on him, but I haven't picked him up anywhere. I haven't put in for him. I haven't made a fab bid for him. I'm not fully on board the Jay Huff bandwagon.
Whatever, the Honda Civic wagon or something. I don't know. But what about Zach Edey? 10-8 with 1-1, a steal and a block. I saw a play where Ja probably could have taken it to the rim. And then he just was like, no, I'll throw it over to Zach here. And Zach caught the ball in the air and he dunked it. And he was getting a little fired up. Zach Edey was like, this was a moment for him. And I saw Ja kind of look at the rookie and smile and kind of think, you know, this guy, you know, what a rook we got here. Like maybe he was a little over exuberant and you know, Ja was, this is like, you know, a day that ends in Y for Ja. But this is a good thing. So what about folks? Do you think if Zach Edey was dropped or, if people were really down on Zach Edey coming into last night's game, does this signal something or what do we got to do with this?
I mean, who else is going to play center for that team? He's going to play and there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be bad nights. There's going to be good ones. I'm hanging in there with Zach for at least, I'm going to give him, you know, 3 weeks.
Look at you with the patience over there. You take the good, you take the bad, you wait for about a month, says Dr. A. I think that's, Scott Pippen Jr., 16-3, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 3, 5 of 5 from the foul line, 27 minutes. I'm ready to throw a do not drop on Scottie Pippen. I'm do not drop Scottie Pippen. I just think he's part of their plans. I think that he's the last man standing and amongst a team known for injury crosses next to their names. I think even if they're healthy, his 20 minutes will probably be productive enough to have on the back of your bench. And then if this thing goes to hell for some reason, I think he's going to be outstanding, like kind of top 50 to 75 range. And I'm all about it. So do not drop is my word there. What do you think about Scott Pippen Jr.?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's real. And the fact that Ja's been mostly healthy and played in all but one game, Pippen's been doing it almost every time out. So I do like Pippen right now. Do I trust him? Not really. But I like the way he's played so far.
Yeah, yeah. Let's spin over to an exciting game. I think it was exciting. It's the Rockets at the Mavs. Rockets take this one 108-102. And for my money, Jalen Green's the guy to watch in Houston right now. It's 23 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 3 threes, 1 steal, 1 block. Free throw not great, but whatever. You know, do you have any Jalen Green on squads? Is he going to go there first?
I don't think I have any Jalen Green.
I don't think I have any Jalen Green either. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying. And I think I hope I was out at least a little bit in front. What happens with Jalen Green is he's a public play. Like the public will beat you to this because they see the name Jalen Green. And this is the kind of play that they get right and that analysts are a little bit behind on. And I really do think that this play that you're seeing out of Jalen Green, it might even be surprising Houston a little bit. He is he took significant steps forward, and he was already a very good basketball player. I'm just curious what this is going to do with the rest of the squad. You know, Fred VanVleet right now is ranking 116 and 8 cat per game. And it was another kind of dog of a game. 4 points, 2 of 13 shooting, 0 of 7 from the 3-point line. Not much elsewhere. No steals, no blocks. 39 minutes, a minus 12. In a game they won, in a game where Brooks, Şengün, Green, Eason, and Reed Shepard in his 5 minutes were the positive plus-minus guys for the Rockets last night. I'm sensing a change in dynamic for this team. I don't know what it's going to manifest as, but do you think that Green is making the case to be kind of more of an alpha dog there, and folks should be trying to buy in to Jalen Green? Or do you think this is the other thing where he's just riding high and somebody like Fred VanVleet's not going to go 0 for 7 forever and the tables are going to turn? Which way do you see that outcome?
Jalen Green looks different to me this year. It reminds me of Anthony Edwards when he got hot last year and like thought he was the best player on the floor, thinks he's the best player on the floor, carries himself that way. I watched Jalen Green last night, and he just looked different. Like, give me the ball, and let me beat these guys. And that's exciting. Like, I think we should be all in on Jalen Green at this point. And I'm kind of sad I don't have him. Now, I was surprised that Fred VanVleet's numbers were as good as they were last year because they just had so many young guys that need the ball. I just kind of thought Fred VanVleet would walk out there again this year and do the exact same thing again. But it really has not happened up to this point. I'm not going to write Fred VanVleet off. I think this is a great time to make an offer for Fred VanVleet. But, I mean, if Jalen Green's going to be different all year, it's going to hurt VanVleet.
Yeah, well, let's ask the big question. Alperen Şengün ranking number 70 in 8 cat per game. Is this a buy low moment for Şengün? Last night, 17 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 1 block. Okay, so he gets 1 block in the cash counting stats, 3 steals and blocks, just the 1 block, zeros everywhere else. 5 of 16 from the field, 7 of 9. So what's that, 77%? Come on, math, you can do it. That's, you know, He's struggling a little bit. Is this due to the Jalen Green stuff? Is this a buy low moment for Şengün? I mean, it's a huge name, right? Like Şengün was a second round pick in a lot of leagues, in very competitive leagues. What are we doing with Şengün?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not panicking on Şengün. He stinks at the categories that you like to call him out for stinking in. Like he doesn't get a lot of blocks. He doesn't get a lot of steals. He doesn't need a lot of threes. his free throws are kind of funky right now. And he's shooting like 30. Wait, was that last night or is that on the season? Is he shooting 37% for the year or is that just last night?
No, that's that last 10. No, that's 37% for the year.
I mean, that's great. Why his value sucks.
Yeah, that's why his steals are in a good spot.
That's why his ranking is so bad.
Look, he's got 15, 12, and 3 with 1.6 steals. Look, teams are going to target him. He's going to be around the ball a lot. So I think that steals and blocks number is going to be fine. It's the efficiencies. It's the field goals. It's the free throws at 72%. I mean, you know, I think folks were hoping that might be like 75 this season. And if he's not going to get you the big popcorn stats because, say, Jalen Green has way more of the leash than he does, then that's a recipe for this. I'd be really strongly considering making a move after his next big game. And I was just looking to see who they play next, these guys, because I kind of think that's a good game for him.
Why are we worried about his field goal percentage?
I'm not worried about his field goal percentage so much. I think, in fact, that actually signals a bounce back is on the way. What I'm wondering for folks is if you ride that bounce back and their next game here is, looks like it's, I don't know what ESPN's doing with their schedule. Andre, if you could grab whatever their next game is, that's great. I think he's due for a bounce back. I think folks should sell as soon as that bounce back hits. That's my gut instinct. I'm not going to tell you to go sell at all costs. I think he's probably going to be what folks more or less thought he would be. But the big question for me in Houston is Jalen Green going to etch away, say, 2 to 3 rounds of value for Şengün this season? Anything else on Houston, Doc? If you got it, you say it. But I'm going to look over at that Dallas side. I don't see a ton here for us to go through. I do want to shout out Kyrie at 28 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, 5 threes. It's a great game there. Did anything else catch you on that Mavs side?
Well, I still got a Rockets thing.
Good. Let's hear
Shin it. Şengün shot 54% from the floor last year, 55% the year before. He's at 37. That's why his ranking's low. As soon as his shots start falling, which they're going to, he's going to be fine. I'm not looking to move Şengün, and I'm not panicking on Şengün. But I like the fact that you sort of are. Like, hey, it's as soon as he gets hot, move him. I'm just not there. As far as the Dallas side of this thing goes, Luka's shot is absolutely broken right now. I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, probably a good Bucklow moment on a Luka Doncic as well.
Yeah, something was not. I mean, I think Houston came into this game fired up, and I heard a couple other commentators on radio. I can't remember who. As I was navigating Halloween traffic, they felt the same way, and I kind of nodded in agreement that they were going to come in and play this one hard. And then they play the Warriors on Saturday, and depending on who the Warriors are going to match up with Şengün, he could snap a couple of them in half. And I think that that's going to be very interesting. It would be interesting to see if they put Dre on him, though. If they put Dre, but I think he can move Dre. So that's that.
Look at PJ Washington's line.
He's been on one a little bit lately. 6 points, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 9 boards. I mean, that's the 3 steals and the 3 blocks that we're looking at. I think he showed so much in the playoffs last year and just being able to do so many different things. It was a real revelation of a season for him. The quickness that he had a year to a year and a half prior, he was dealing with a hyperextended knee. And I kind of wonder if that put the last couple seasons into a little bit of a lull. Like he never looked that mobile in Charlotte. No. And then in Dallas, he looked like a guard.
Dallas has been so desperate for a power forward for like 3 years, ever since Kristaps left. And they're playing him tons of minutes, man. I'm kind of feeling PJ Washington right now.
Yeah. I mean, I had a hard time pushing him up the ranks. I really wanted him higher. I just couldn't justify it amidst all of the players in Dallas. But as far as the player themselves, I just can't say enough about his ability to guard down into the guard range, but also play in the middle there. And otherwise, a soft line for a lot of guys on Dallas. So I would expect a bounce back for these guys. Some levels of breaking news here. I don't know how much surprise factor there is. We got Paul George fully practices today. Joel Embiid fully practiced today. Embiid said he won't play Saturday. I think the thinking there is that Embiid is actually going to be playing pretty soon. So like within the week, I think we're going to see Joel Embiid. So if you took the plunge, this story is far from over, but at least you're not getting slapped with like a month off at the beginning of the Joel Embiid saga. Paul George has been running stairs in, you know, full plain sight for quite a while now. So it's not shocking that he's very close. I don't know if we've got a green light on Paul George for this upcoming game, which I believe is Saturday. But those guys are getting close. And then Paolo Banchero, 4 to 6 weeks. That hit yesterday. Most of you guys definitely know that already. And that kind of rocked Orlando because he just got a 50-point game. He's their best player. And Doc, is there anybody striking you as somebody to take a look at in light of that news?
The Banchero?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Like Killing Thorpe or something? Kilipowski? Kilipowski. Killing Thorpe.
Yeah, that guy. You're talking about the Jazz. I'm talking about Banchero.
Banchero plays for Orlando.
Yeah, we're gonna rock Steve's world over here. Steve and I were joking before the show started that there were a couple of empty vessels over here. I think I woke up in the first 10 minutes of the show. Who on the Magic? You think like Tavius Caldwell Pope?
I don't even know who Paolo Banchero plays for. Apparently, Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on.
Do a couple laps around the office.
I wasn't ready for this question.
But you know what, Kyle Filipowski. For the Jazz is getting some noteworthiness in
Didn't
Utah.
Didn't somebody get hurt in Utah?
Oh yeah. Well, they're all getting hurt. Yeah, they're all getting hurt in Utah. Utah's already started the tank fest. They're rip roaring ready to go in Utah. You know, the thought of a Cooper flag, you know, has Utah just rolling out the red carpet, letting Keontae George take 16 shots a game without any care at all.
I don't see a Filipowski in Orlando, like Jet Howard, maybe. Franz Wagner's gonna be leaned on pretty heavily.
Yeah, I think
KCP might wake up.
You know, and it's not been great, but I wonder if Anthony Black gets on the radar there. He hasn't been terrible in the box score. In his limited role, limited minutes. So if he kind of reached up and became a very deep league guy, that might not be surprising. I want to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope get consistent. And I think what they've been happy with him in Orlando with the defense and the intangibles and moving the ball and just kind of being a good team player. But the shots haven't been falling there. Let's get back to last night's action. This could have easily led the show. We had a 5x5 by old Victor Wembanyama. I don't even know if it was worth the oxygen to call him a buy low. You know, prior to this game, I hope everybody in your league tried to acquire Victor Wembanyama in the first couple games of the season here. They win 106-88 against your Jazz, Steve, where everybody but Victor and Chris Paul kind of struggled in San Antonio. But let's hit the Chris Paul stuff, because I think the Victor Wembanyama stuff is pretty much self-explanatory at this point. Paul goes for 19, 7, and 10 with 2 steals and 3 threes. Is this, I always call it the set wave from my surfing days. Is this the set wave before Chris Paul becomes something of a Chris Paul that we've seen in the past? So say like top 75 going forward.
Well, it's funny how it works. And remember the game before that, Wembanyama did nothing. In fact, everybody was like, oh, this is not what I signed up for. Because, and then it's like, is Pop going to start messing with us here? Because Wembanyama only got five shots against the Thunder. And everybody's watching it. It was on TV. 6 points. And, of course, we back that up with 25, 9, 7, 5, 5, 4 triples. And it's not a coincidence that Chris Paul finally broke out and had a good game on the night that Wemby just put one of the stat lines up for the ages, one of the best of all time. So, I mean, are the Spurs trying to win basketball games this year? I don't know. I still don't know the answer. But if they do, it better feature Chris Paul throwing it to Victor Wembanyama a lot. And if that happens, Paul's going to do this, you know, twice a week.
I'm going to guess your answer is hang on. I think some people, yeah. Like, but you could theoretically take, I could point to, hey, look, Dr. A loves Chris Paul. And the people in your league are watching Dr. A and they're saying, hey, maybe we should hang on to Chris Paul. Now you've got Chris Paul and you're like, I don't know. Do you think that you should sell Chris Paul now while this kind of, we're five games into the season? He has a look about him. It looks like he could be a top 75 guy, maybe even a top 50. Chris Paul, a couple seasons ago, slid into top 25 value when people kind of downgraded him into the top 50, 60 range. That's what just a couple seasons ago. Are you telling people not to move on a sell high? Or are you telling people to hang on and see where this goes?
I say hang on. I mean, the potential for him to do this all the time is definitely there if Pop lets it happen. So I'm hanging on. Now, like, if you're asking me, do I want to hang on to Mike Conley and all the garbage lines that he's putting up? I don't see, like, a way out. I don't see a way for Conley to suddenly start balling out. There's definitely a place for Chris Paul to blow up in San Antonio.
Yeah, and I'll answer the other side of your question there, which is I think they are trying to win. Like, maybe this changes at some point in time. But I think at this point in time, like if they were sitting at the table over the coaches and the management, everybody's talking about this, I think they're probably like two-thirds or three-quarters, let's win, with the other side being like, eh, maybe we'll hold it back a little bit. So I think it's mostly let's win. Quick kind of notes, Julian Champagne, quiet game. He got you 3 steals. So in my world, that means that you hang on and just look forward to better times. A big, heavy, heavy dose of Wembanyama and Chris Paul. Yes, that could happen a lot going forward, but I'm personally holding there. Jeremy Sochan, 11 points, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. I think the interesting thing there is his presence on the court has allowed teams to effectively double and triple and cover Victor Wembanyama, as Zach Lowe so astutely pointed out in his feed the other day. They cover him with wings and things like that. It'll be interesting to see how San Antonio deals with that because of his limited shooting ability and such. That's, I think, it for those guys. Let's get to the Utah side. Your favorite, Kyle Filipowski, 12 points, 5 boards, 2 threes, 20 minutes. Like, okay. I mean, this is just a Lauri Markkanen's not there kind of a deal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, stream if Lauri Markkanen is out and expect this kind of a result. And I do think they're generally kind of pleased with him. The play that sort of stood out is John Collins. Now, he got 28 minutes. He's coming off the bench. It's funny. I mean, this guy had such a bright future at one point in time in his career, and I just don't think he's done anything terrible. He hasn't risen to the level of stardom, but he's getting 28 minutes, 14-11, 1 steal, 1 block. Should people be buying in to John Collins? Like, what would you treat a John Collins at this point in time with them sort of starting up the tank kind of early, I guess. Maybe not. But, like, do you think John Collins can be a top 75 guy the rest of the way?
I love that. Will they keep playing him? I don't know. You know, Taylor Hendricks gone for, what, the year, right?
Yeah.
And now Markkanen's hurt, and I don't know that he's – I don't know that we know that he's like, oh, this is just a one-game thing. He might be hurt. So, yeah, I think John Collins, while he's not going to do what we thought he might do one day, he's still better than the average Joe and the average guy sitting out there on the waiver wire. There's a lot of opportunity for John Collins.
What about your guy, Keyonte George? I'm kidding, because I don't know how much Keyonte George you got, but 15, 4, and 5. Okay, that's good. 5 of 14 from the field. 1 of 9 from 3. 7 turnovers. Is this a buy low moment for this guy? I'm pulling up his season-long field goal percentage, but I think it's like 20. What do we got?
Horrible.
28.
It's
28.
That's higher than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was more like 23.
Yeah, 28. 28%.
The shooting has been terrible every single night. The turnovers are there every night. I was kind of a Keyonte George guy, but that's, I mean, we took him in the 12th round, 11th round, 13th round. So it's an experiment, and it's been a rough one. But one thing's for sure, the Jazz want to lose every game this year. They can keep playing Keyonte George and not really worrying about it. So I like that. But he may shoot it like this all year. I don't know.
There is a bounce back coming. I don't know if that bounce back looks like 40% from the field or 45% from the field. There's a bounce back coming. I guess my one concern, if you're looking to get in on the buy low or you got Keyonte George, is at what point in time does Utah get less invested in his production? Because I do know that internally there were rumblings about this is hurting everybody else's development. This kind of a 5 of 14, 1 of 13, whatever the other one was the other night. Like the other players, like Taylor Hendrickson, Hendricks was basically getting, you know, just not as much of a good rep experience on the floor because this stuff was going on. And so that's just a thought that I wonder, will you get less of this? Maybe less would be more with this guy. Hitting some other notes with the Jazz before we get out of there. Kessler with 3 blocks. So I guess that's kind of good news. 11 boards there, 28 minutes. The minutes are great news. Actually, I think it's all good news for Kessler so far this season. Elsewhere, Sexton, 16 points and a relatively normal stat line. I think you got to kind of just hang in with Sexton, guys. This is what has happened for many seasons now in Utah, and then it all usually ends up with him kind of finishing in the top 75 range. So just kind of hang tight, I think, is the advice there. Let's get out of this game and get into the final game for last night's slate, which was Phoenix at the Clippers. Phoenix wins this. They moved to 4-1. I had them as an over in this season, and I kind of thought they had the perfect combo of good players and chips on shoulders. And then I saw the Ryan Dunn stuff, and I was like, hey, okay, I think this has got some momentum here. So good start there. You got no Bradley Beal in this game. So you got 34 minutes of Ryan Dunn. He went for 16 points, 4 boards, 1 steal, 4 threes. So Ryan Dunn comes out of college. I can't remember his 3-point shooting percentage off the top of my head. I want to say it was like 30 or something. And just no reputation for shooting whatsoever. And he gets to the NBA and he's just gangbusters. Like immediately figures it out. Are you making a play on Ryan Dunn long term? Or is this still too much like spottiness and too young, too soon? Not going to do it in standard leagues this season.
Yeah. I think we're a year early for the Ryan Dunn explosion. And now Bradley Beal, you know, suffers a severe injury and he's going to miss a lot of time. Then yeah, I think then you're like, I better go pick up Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, Booker was the big performer. 40 points, 5 boards, 8 assists, 5 threes, 3 steals. 61% from the field, 86.7% from the foul line. I don't got much to say about Booker. I feel like he's just etched into the second round value as long as he plays 70 games. And so far, so good on that front. I think folks are looking at Royce O'Neal, 21 points, 7 boards, 1 block, 5 threes. How are you with Royce right now?
He was good last night, man. And again, he benefited by no Bradley Beal. So, and if you look at Royce O'Neal's profile picture, his official NBA picture, he's wearing a pearl necklace. First time I've noticed that this year, Brew.
I am now noticing. Excellent work, Mr. O'Neal. Excellent work.
First three games were single-digit scoring games. The rebounds have been consistent. The blocks have been there lately. I'm good with Royce O'Neal. I think Royce O'Neal is a nice guy to put at the end of your fantasy bench and get him out there when you have a spot for him.
Yeah, the one interesting thing, I know folks will probably want to ask me personally, because I had Grayson Allen ranked very high in the B150, and I wouldn't change that, with the exception of I might make a little bit of an adjustment, knowing that he had his first kid, the Achilles stuff, and even just watching. Actually, the game's on right here in the background. I've been watching a little bit here on the replay. I think with him, he's got four steals. So, I mean, yay. 19 minutes, 1 of 8 shooting. He looks to me like somebody that's just trying to get in shape right now. So I would be curious if the Royce O'Neal numbers come back down, if the Ryan Dunn numbers come back down as Grayson Allen gets cranked up closer to 30 minutes per game. And then the other question with Grayson, that's just a curiosity at this point, is since he decided to get into the weight room and train like a linebacker, what does that do to his ability to move laterally? Does it impact his shot? Things like that. If he can keep all of those things in the right spot and the weight was just added weight, well, it's going to be helpful for him on defense and it's going to be helpful for him on offense as well. So, questions there. And Nurkic, 11 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1-3. A lot of drop Nurk questions lately. Are you dropping Nurk?
I mean, that's a garbage line, man. No blocks, no steals, 3 boards. 23 minutes. Royce O'Neal kept him off the floor last night. So I'm just glad I don't have Nurkic. It depends on who you're going to drop him for. But it doesn't look great. And back to Grayson Allen real quick. Last year, Grayson Allen and Dante DiVincenzo were two of the most pleasant surprises in the entire league and the fantasy darlings. And this year, Dante DiVincenzo and Grayson Allen are two of the biggest disappointments so far. Like, neither one of them can shoot it. So I don't know what's going on there. And shout out Tyus Jones, 11 times, quietly, just keeps getting it done.
He just has to exist, and he'll be a top 100 player. What was I going to say? The Grayson Allen stuff? Oh, the Nurk stuff. Five games. I think it's really important to just remember, guys, that we've seen so many times, and this isn't about any of the guys we're talking, this is about everybody in the league. So many times there's been a third of the league that in the first 5 games looks one way and it's maybe not what you expected. And then they look like what you expected the rest of the way. So if you're relying on Nurkic as a center, if you're relying on certain player X for whatever, if you just don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, just remember that the first 5 games are weird for everybody. And if it's at the next 5 games, this segment is actually the important segment that I think when you look at this segment, it's like, okay, this is a thing now. Whatever it is, this is a thing. So just keep that in mind with your ad drop stuff. Nurk is getting a lot of drop questions. I personally don't have him anywhere. If I had him somewhere, I would say give it a 6th or a 7th game and just see if maybe he can get acclimated a little bit better than he has been. On the Clippers side, more fun for Ivica Zubac, 22-12 with the steal. Not great elsewhere, so, you know, whatever. But James Harden, 25-10-13, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 trays. I think a lot of folks are just happy that they've got James Harden wherever they got him. I think the question for me out of this is Chris Dunn, because I like to get into the niche part of the back ends of the rosters and try to figure out where can we get value in these deeper leagues. He got 24 minutes in the last game. 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 threes. So no steals, no blocks, but that's the kind of thing that we know he's capable of on a nightly basis. Are you buying into any of this Chris Dunn stuff, or does it still have to be a much deeper league for you to care?
I mean, he scored 6 or fewer points in 4 of his 5 games. He's played less than 20 minutes or less in 3 of them. I need more. I need to understand his role with the team better than I do. Because right now, I can't really figure out You know, how many minutes he's going to play every night. And I kind of need to know that. And I'm so focused on Norman Powell that I can't even see Chris Dunn right now.
You just watch Norm all game. And I think the thing that was interesting for me was, I think Kevin Porter Jr., wearing the green hair was just a very interesting thing. I don't even know what
he was. He was the Joker.
He was the Joker. Yeah. He was the Joker. Kevin Porter Jr. Playing the Joker with everything going on the off floor stuff. You know, that's just a weird optics thing, I guess. I'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. But with the ball, like, he has, from the preseason to current, appeared like he's going to get the ball. 14 points, 5 boards to assist, 1 block. I mean, these numbers aren't knocking on, you know the door to be a pickup in standard leagues. These are not run and go get Kevin Porter Jr. numbers. I'm just curious, do they just not care at all about the optics stuff in LA, and they could rise him up through the ranks as the season goes on? And could he, of course, elbow out Chris Dunn? And then I don't think he's going to threaten any of the starters' minutes, but, you know, one injury here, one injury there. Next thing you know, we're talking about Kevin Porter Jr. as a pickup. That's just a thing that I'm watching.
He had a good line for playing just 17 minutes.
This has kind of been how it's been going for Kevin Porter Jr. So it's just an interesting thing for the deeper leagues out there. Okay.
Hey, quick note. Just because we talked about this incredible palace that they built for the Clippers.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're 0-3 in Steve Ballmer's house. And their two wins are on the road. That's pretty wild.
I want to know what their next game is so I can just get a complete read on this before I say what I'm about to say. Their next game. Why ESPN? Why? The schedule's backwards on the page. I just figured it out. You got to scroll to the bottom to get to the next game. They get the Thunder on Saturday. Yeah, again, the Thunder. Okay. Well, the line's going to be big. This is at home. Yes, it's at home against the Thunder. And think about all the motivation inside that building, because they've been embarrassed by the Thunder. Like, the Thunder came and took everything. They took the whole cabinet and ran with it. And now they're in their squeaky, squeaky, clean, shiny new building. And I think that I think they're going to play this thing super hard. And I'd lean in hard on that number. The Thunder are riding high. And yes, the Thunder are amazing. And I don't know if anybody understands. Here's the only thing I would say to tap the brakes on a pick for the Clippers in that game is, I don't think everybody understands how good the Thunder are, or is, if you're a Thunder beat writer. I don't think the just a weird grammatical thing there. They don't even have Hartenstein right now, and their defense is crushing opposing box scores, just crushing. And I don't know if the public has caught up to that, but I would lean in heavy and a motivation factor against the Thunder, and maybe there's some bad blood still. Maybe the Shea Gildas Alexanders will play that one hard. I don't know. I don't think they care that much. Okay. All right. Let's get into the second part of the episode. We're going to look ahead at some of these games. And yes. Producer extraordinaire Andre Lemos will be very happy with that pivot right there. Okay. Sixers.
And then he will not be happy that we're talking about it.
I know. And he'll try to, you know, threaten that he might edit it out, which I don't think he does. Okay, let's look ahead. I want to get one thing that you're looking for in each game here, Steve. Knicks at Detroit. What do we got? Knicks at Detroit. One thing, Steve. One thing.
Knicks at Detroit. One thing. For some reason, I thought we were starting Boston, Charlotte. You go first, Brew.
I think with this game, aside from my morbid bet of that the Detroit Pistons are going to hit their over, and JB Bickerstaff's going to be coach of the year, and we're going to all be rich. I'm looking to see, will the New York Knicks stars play like stars, and then will Mikal Bridges keep his foot on the gas? Bridges has been fine. Bridges, I mean, if you got Bridges in the seventh round because that's just people were so scared of what was going on with Bridges. You're feeling pretty good. I don't know if people got him in the seventh round. He kind of just hung out in the same spots in my leagues that I was drafting in. But like OG Anunoby, you know, can those two guys be a part of the offense? And then do the two stars start producing like stars consistently in New York? And then I guess that's multiple things. How about a thing for Detroit? I can hear Andre right now.
No,
one thing.
My thing is the Knicks, and it's can Josh Hart hit double figures in rebounds for the fourth straight game? People are sleeping on Josh Hart. He's good. And also, I want to see if Cat can do it again. Next game.
Yeah, next game. Orlando at Cleveland. What's the one thing you're looking for in this game?
I want to see who steps up in the absence of Paolo Banchero. I want to see if Franz Wagner can drop 50 on somebody.
I want to see in Cleveland, there's a lot I like going on in Cleveland. I want to see if Jared Allen just keeps wrecking fantasy leagues. I've faded Jared Allen for the last 2 years, and I wonder if this configuration with this team is just going to keep him in a place where he can keep putting up big fantasy numbers, and then maybe he's a early round guy with a little extra on top, and we just don't know it yet, or the people that drafted Jared Allen, they knew it the whole time, and I was slow, and I don't know who else was behind, but, you know, like that's my thing. I want to see, because there's a lot going on there I could talk about. I only get one thing. I want to watch
Jared Allen. Jared Allen's like top 10 right now.
He's killing it.
He's out of his mind.
My theory there is that they're so good. And shout out to Cleveland for keeping it together. And Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Okay, now we're in three things, four things, five things. But like they're so good that Jared Allen's reaping the benefits. And he's just able to get out there and crush. Okay, let's get to Celtics and Hornets. Celtics at Hornets. What you got? One thing. Not two. Not three.
Peyton Pritchard go off again.
Ooh, I like that one. I like that one a lot. My thing. I want to see, can Trey Mann keep it going? Trey Mann's just been cruising. I don't know. Do we got news on Brandon Miller? Is he in this game? Because that's the big pivot point there. So that's what I'm going to be watching for in that game. And then our a good friend, and I say that very lightly, Nemanja Šikeda was a part of that Boston comeback, and that where Halliburton and company almost choked again, and they came away with the win in overtime. I want to see if maybe that little good burst of play there, you know, sparks a little bit more playing time for him. So I got two things in that game, just because Andre put it in the notes twice. So that's what you get, Andre. Lakers at Toronto. What's your one thing there?
I'm following the wrong list. Lakers at Toronto. I want to see Grady Dick score more than 30 points.
Oh, y'all know what I'm watching for in that game. It's Mogbo forever, baby. Mogbo forever. I just, you know, it's hard to predict that a player who's getting 5 minutes or 9 minutes as it was in a game is going to be that guy. It's hard to predict when a Keon Ellis is not getting any, I guess he's on the list here. I'll save the Keon Ellis part. It's hard to do this. But sometimes you got to trust the eye test. And what I see out of Mogbo is it's breathtaking. It's just, he's bigger and faster and he's got longer arms and he just goes out there and takes the ball away. It's beautiful stuff. Mogbo forever, everybody. Mogbo forever.
Was breathtaking the word of the day, or did you just pull that out? Like, did I miss the memo?
No, you didn't. I just pulled that out of thin air. Because it is breathtaking. Like, wow. Like go watch it. It's wow. Like he covered Anthony Edwards. It was amazing.
I'm going to watch this game to watch Mogbo.
Mogbo forever, baby. I love it. And it sucks that Scotty Barnes got hit with the 3 weeks, and it sounds like it could even be more. You know, I got Scotty in a few places, and I'm actually just rooting for Scotty. You know, I just think that he's a good young player, and it sucked to get the news, but it's like, this is why you go out in front on a guy like Mogbo, because if the talent's there, and the skills are there, and you're on a tanking team that's going to want to develop a guy like that, you just get out there ahead. And then I got all of Mogbo. I had to drop Isaiah Jackson. And as I was dropping Isaiah Jackson, I was like, I bet this is when Isaiah Jackson goes off the minute I drop him. And that's how much faith, you know, you had to have there. All right. Off my little soapbox. Bulls at Brooklyn. Chicago at Brooklyn. What you got?
Can our guy, Cam Thomas, do it again? Like, Cam Thomas is going to score 70 points at some point this season. When's it going to happen?
Yeah, well, and also Dennis Schroeder, absolutely just going off. I'm a little pissed at myself because I thought I saw this coming. I just didn't think it would be like this. So that, I think, is one thing I'm looking for there. And then I guess on the Chicago Bulls side, like, I just want to see, can Zach LaVine, is he even playing is a question. If he's not playing, then, you know, what's it look like for Coby White? Are we going to get a little preview of Coby White? And I think Jalen Smith's injury situation is on my radar as well. Anything else there before I get out of Bulls at Brooklyn? All right. Kings in Atlanta. Your neck of the woods. The Kings are in town. You gonna go watch the game?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
You go call up Bob and see if you can get some.
I'm not going down there. I'll tell you that.
Ah, that devil was in the details. That traffic is something else there in Atlanta.
Well, dude, for me to go to Atlanta and see a game, it's like 8 hours, 9 hours.
An ordeal.
It's an ordeal.
Not to go watch Keon Ellis? That's not going to get you out of your seat?
No, it's not. I don't find him to be breathtaking.
Oh. I might never bounce back from that one.
Jalen Johnson, 21-17, three steals his last game. 29-12-7, a steal and a block the game before that. Both against Washington. I want to see him keep doing that. Against a team that's not Washington, which would be the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, the injury bug striking Atlanta really quick, really fast. I'm watching to see Onyeka Okongwu. A little bit out of self-interest there. I don't have a ton of Okongwu, but just to see, like, last game, 2 points, three boards, two assists coming off some injury rest, like red flag central against a bad Washington Wizards team that's 2-2 than Washington Wizards. Reese Shea, of course, a steal and two blocks in the last game, 17-6. Look, two threes as well. If this is going to be the future, because, you know, Bogdanovich is out for a bit and other guys could come in and out of the lineup and all of a sudden their number one overall draft pick needs 35 minutes per game. Hey, maybe this is the last set wave for Reese Shea. And then he just cruises as at least the late round value going forward. Maybe that's the case. Maybe there's a little bit of upside beyond that. You know, maybe he's going to be a top 100 guy. You looking at David Roddy at all? Like, would you stream a David Roddy?
No.
No? Okay. I'm just checking. 17 points, two steals, 1-3, 6-6 from the foul line, and the last one with them all banged up. Of course, I'm looking at Keon Ellis. Ah! Look at the eyebrows are raised.
I don't know. I don't trust it enough to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm there either. But I love watching David Roddy play. It's like, I don't know. He's bigger than a tight end. He's like a lineman, a defensive end out there just playing basketball. It's great stuff. Keon Ellis, look, guys, if I like the Mogbo film, I like the Keon Ellis film maybe even more. Keon shut down entire halves of the court. He played extraordinarily well. I mean, talking like, per minute highlights off the chart. I think that they're just going to keep him in this low minute range. Again, I said 20 games at the start of the season and then reap the benefits. And I think that's kind of the schedule we're on, but he did enough in that last game to really impress the crap out of everybody in Sacramento and hopefully the front office and the coaching staff. So he and Kevin Huerter can just sort of coexist together and Huerter at 25 minutes plus, Keon at 20 minutes plus at this stage of the season. And then eventually Keon Ellis, I think, plays 25, 30 minutes for this squad as they realize that Keon plus the core equals a top four team in the West. And if you could be a top four team in the West, maybe you have a puncher's chance at doing something, and maybe a puncher's chance at doing something with the big Domantas Sabonis bet that they made many years back. Okay. Pacers. Speaking of the other half of that bet, that's kind of a little iffy right now. Tyrese Haliburton, New Orleans Pelicans, just iffy as a squad. What are you watching in that game?
Tyrese, you know, I have a new column that just came up on ESPN this morning called Risers and Fallers. Every week I take a look at risers and fallers. And Tyrese Haliburton is a faller, and he's been falling since the All-Star game last year. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, man. He needs a get-right game like Ja Morant had last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the confidence is down. And I've seen this before, from him before. It's usually, I think, the cap on a confidence issue for Haliburton is like 5 games. We're at 5 games. I don't think the confidence is going to go away for that guy. Just knowing him, his constitution, where he's from, you know, like kind of like everything about him, he is streaky. I don't think he's going to stop shooting. And I don't think he's forgotten how to shoot. And I don't think that team is going to go away from him long term. But it is tough, tough sledding for him right now. And the New Orleans side, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I know, but I just don't know. That they're just so Zion driven, and like it's going to be Zion this, Zion that. I don't know. We'll see. It's all the same stuff we said in the past. Let's get to Denver and Minnesota. What are you looking for in this game? This is a big game.
CJ and Herb Jones are out for New Orleans, so Horton, it looks like Jordan Hawkins is kind of iffy. But I hope Hawkins plays because he's got a huge opportunity tonight. If he's playing, yeah, I'm going to have him with DFS.
I shouldn't have been that dismissive. I just am so kind of bored with what New Orleans is all about. Like, I want to see Trey Murphy play. And I want to see Herbert Jones get healthy. And I want to see, you know, Jose Alvarado, if he's playing in this one, like, he's definitely a good player to fire up in a stream. It's going to be and again, I shouldn't have sold it this short. This is going to possibly be a very big stat game. You know, Indiana has a run and gun offense. New Orleans can put some stats up in a hurry. It's just what's up at the top is what gets me irked, I think, with that squad. But let's talk about the big game, Denver at Minnesota. This is a huge rematch. Do you think? I mean, you got Denver. That's a little bit. You know, they've been maybe circled this game and didn't get up for any of the games prior to that. What are you looking for in this game?
I want to see Christian Brown keep it going. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing really, really well. He's sort of slowed down. I think that begged the question of, is that most recent line for Christian Brown the new normal for him? Or is that, something else? I want to just see kind of both. I have more of a reality take on this one. Is I want to see, do both of these teams use this game as the launching pad for whatever it is that they're going to be going forward? Both teams really, really struggling in various ways, but does this game solidify? And then what happens with Anthony Edwards? Does he go crazy in a game like this? We'll see. And the last game on the slate, we're going to cover some of the weekend action as well and some teams that we haven't touched here tonight, but OKC at Portland. What's the thought process there? Annihilation. Run.
Annihilation. SGA sitting on the bench for the entire fourth quarter along with Chet. You know, I want to see if Lu Dort can keep it going. I think Lu Dort is returning like top 75 value right now. Nobody ever talks about Lu Dort, but he starts, he hits threes, he gets steals, he plays D. I think Lu Dort is somebody. Lu Dort is somebody that fantasy managers should be thinking about adding to their team.
Yeah, and I think both of those guys, the two of them, he and Caruso, are just going to fill that kind of a role all season long. And I know it hasn't been great for Caruso, but both should be on radars. And if they start heating up, don't hesitate, because they've got those cash counting stats that we always love. Portland's been playing fairly well lately in terms of not falling apart. I'm always watching for Klingon. I want to just see what Klingon does in his 10 minutes per game. It's always fun. Some teams that we haven't spoken about. I mean, we spoke briefly about the Sixers with the injury update. They play the Grizzlies on Saturday. I already spoke about the Grizz, but what about the Sixers? Is there anything in this as the Paul George and Joel Embiid wheels turn? Is there anything sort of tertiary that you think that we should be keeping an eye out for?
I don't know. I mean, Caleb Martin's going to go bye-bye when Paul George comes back. Maxey won't have any of those 45 point nights when those two are back. I bet Paul George plays Saturday. It sounds like Joel Embiid is more likely to play next week. Just get ready for changes because Caleb Martin was playing pretty good.
How are you handling all the Warriors stuff? Like, I mean, we'll get some updates on Steph. We'll get some updates on Andrew Wiggins. Probably an update on D'Anthony Melton. Buddy Hield's been going off a little bit. Brandon Podziemski. Where are you at with those guys?
I've just been enjoying Jonathan Kuminga.
Honestly, this is why, like, anytime Doc takes the opposing side on a player that I either like or don't like, I get scared.
Buddy Hield is never going to go away also.
Yeah. He's like a cockroach. He just will not go away. I love Buddy Hield. And actually, Buddy Hield did a lot of great things in the Sacramento community, just to throw that out there. I just think he's just a guy that gets fantasy value. And even in the worst kind of conditions, that's what he does. I think he's got top 75 written all over him the rest of the way. And at a bargain, 125 to 150 price in drafts. Let's see. Oh, the Heat. Yes, the Heat. I haven't talked about the Heat or the Wizards.
Where are you drawing this from? Is this the Brewski? Is this coming straight out of your brain?
Yeah. You remember Herman's Head from the 90s? It's Brewski's Brain. Brewski's Brain is the new show on Fox, if Fox is still around.
Bam has been terrible.
And he's
been awful.
Yeah. I think there's a ton of talk about that, even locally. I was hearing, I forget the play-by-play guy's name out of Miami, or maybe he's the sideline guy. He works on NBA radio. They were just talking about it openly. When he's talking about it openly, that's a sign that the whole organization is talking about it. And actually, this would probably be a big get-right game for Bam Adebayo, I would think. And you got Sarr, who can probably match up with him pretty well. You've got Valanciunas, who probably knows a few things about how to defend him. I don't know that bodes well. And it's probably more about just what they're doing in general. They're trying to run as well. He's not getting to run the ball up the court, which means that when he used to catch the rebound and go, he would dribble up the court and be part of that first action. So a lot of dribble handoff. So that would lead to whatever sub action after that, and now it's going up the floor, and so that's probably a little bit of the problem there. That's a trend that the Heat want to keep following, so I don't know if that means that his entire deployment changes, or is this just that first five game bump or blip, pardon me, on the radar. What about the Wizards side? What you locked into on the Wizards side? I know the answer, but what do you got?
Are these Saturday's games?
These are weekend games that are okay. right there in the chat. That
I see in the chat is after this we're gonna do questions. Bilal Coulibaly is on fire, and Jordan Poole is going off. And I said the other day, it's a year too early for Coulibaly. I'm starting to change my mind. They're playing him tons of minutes, and he looks amazing. So,
yeah, I'm questioning if he's going to be there in all of the different categories every single night. Can he do two things at once? That's the only question I have about Coulibaly right now. Shout out to our many listeners on Twitter and YouTube, and head on over to the Discord. You could get the Discord link in the show notes. And thank you guys very much for your support and everything that you guys have been doing on site and in these shows. And really appreciate you guys. Check out the NBA Fantasy Pass. $7 a month gets you access to all sorts of good stuff. We're going to have a bunch of releases for you here this upcoming weeks that I cannot wait to tell you guys about. Let's get to some questions from said Discord. First one is, was offered Tobias Harris for Kawhi. So our Discord user was offered Tobias Harris for Kawhi. Got Kawhi in the seventh round, they say. That's a 14-team, 9-cat league. Do you accept this deal? Got offered Tobias Harris for Kawhi. So you've waited about a week and change to go through the first bit of this in the Kawhi saga. Do you get out for one Tobias Harris?
I'm not feeling Tobias Harris. So is that your question?
Yeah. I mean, if you got to get rid of Kawhi, would you trade Kawhi for Tobias?
Wow. I couldn't do it. If I was bullish enough to draft Kawhi Leonard, I'm not going to turn around a week later and trade him for Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I just want to see what it is. I just, you know, like, even if it's like the sad clown, you know, or sad trumpet sound, like, I'll be the clown. I don't care. I want to see what's at the end of the rainbow. You know, is he going to come back and get us, you know, first or second round value per game for however many games he plays? I gotta see what it is. I got him in like the 10th round. So maybe that would influence. If I picked him in the 7th round and I just wanted out, I think Tobias Harris is probably a fine return to get out. So I think this is a risk reward kind of a question. If you want the reward, if your team can support that kind of a move, you know, if you're getting crushed by zeros, if you're getting crushed by poor game counts, then I might make the move. If you can afford to do this, I want to see what's at the end of the rainbow. Big question right here. Somebody offered Chet for Giannis. Chet for Giannis. Which side of the deal do you like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm more of a Chet guy than a Giannis guy. Giannis drafted in the top 10. Chet, not even, you know, Chet was more like second round guy. But if you're dying, I mean, if Giannis's free throws are not going to, they'll get a little bit better, but you're done. You're tanking free throws with Giannis. And if that's too much for you to handle, then yes, make the deal. If the free throws aren't a problem, I'd probably hang on to Giannis.
I'm going to take Chet. I think I'm out on Giannis. Like, I get it in head-to-head. You know, you punt the deficient Darius, but there's three of them. There's threes, free throws, and turnovers. So maybe you don't care about turnovers. All right, you're punting two. Maybe you're not even punting threes. Maybe you found a way around it. Chet's going to address those areas, by the way. And I think he might just be better overall. And I think Giannis has a lot of question marks, like I said at the top of the show. Like, what's going on? Does he start protecting that knee, thinking about life after Milwaukee? Chet's all about right now. I'm going to go for Chet. All right, looks like we might have some live questions from YouTube. The Cousins, 9855, with that happy family right there in the picture. I have my last pick to use for picking players on the waiver wire. Should I use it to pick up Anthony Black? I'm guessing this is his last pick this week. Pick a streamer.
I'd like to know who else is available, but Anthony Black's going to play a little bit more and have the ball in his hands a little bit more with no Paolo. So without knowing any more details than that, I'm going to say maybe it might be worth it.
I'll try to give a little flavor here. I think if you're looking in this kind of a range of players, I do think it's okay. I mean, quickly, I'll try to surf to the Orlando schedule just to make sure that they got two games here you know, the rest of the way. I'm going to assume they do. I see Orlando right here. And I don't want to disparage ESPN because I actually really like the ESPN crew and everything that they do over there. But I'm seeing, looks like they play the Cavs tonight and then they play on Sunday, the Mavs. So you will get the two, games out of them. So I'm green lighting your move here. This is a very sneaky, creative move, and it's not something that a lot of people are going to do, but I'm green lighting it. And I think that's great. Joseph Kim asks, which is the better injury replacement pickup? The breathtaking Jonathan Mogbo or the aforementioned Anthony Black? What you got, Doc? Everybody knows my answer. What's yours?
I mean, if I don't say Mogbo, do I get fired?
I don't know. You got to find out.
I'm Mogbo.
You're Mogbo?
Yeah.
Are you really Mogbo?
I don't want to get fired. You know, I'm Mogbo.
I don't sign the checks. I can't use my hands.
I'm watching this game tonight specifically to watch the breathtaking Mogbo play basketball.
Forever Mogbo, everybody. It's Mogbo. It's Mogbo. Carl Beharin, is OG droppable right now? Ooh, oh, boy. That's a good look. Pick up. I respect the question, but that's breathtaking right there.
It is breathtaking. Who's he going to pick up? That's also an important piece of this puzzle.
But is he droppable as a concept? Like, let's go 12. Let's make it 10 team standard leagues. Nine cat head to head where he's got a little bit of an edge because of the low turnovers.
We're five games in, man. I can't do it.
You can't do it. I'm going to say you can't do it. You can't do it because they need those two, Bridges and Ananobi, to be good. It's a part of this. They have to be good. And I think no matter what, because of that need, he will stay above the cut line. Lester asks, is Bogey a hold in 12-team roto leagues? I only have one IL, already got Scotty and Trey Murphy, so he's hurting. You know, there's too many guys on the bench, it seems like. Is Bogey a hold with this knee thing keeping him out about 4 weeks?
I told you as soon as he got hurt, I cut him. I didn't even know.
But you're ruthless. You're ruthless, Doc.
That's a 12-team league. So I'm moving on. Especially, you already got people on your injured list. And it's a roto league, so it's different. Maybe you can survive with a guy out for 4 to 6. I'm dropping and moving on.
Look, if you're sitting there and you've got other bad situations on your roster, and those bad situations are now in your starting lineup because of all of this injured stuff, yeah, I think there's at least a little bit of a pretext there. I'll give you this. He's going to get top 75 value when he's on the floor. So if he's out, you know, that amount of time and you sort of kind of straight line that over the rest of the season, maybe his value is at about the 100 to be nice and 125 range if he plays all the rest of his games. So maybe you do look at that and you say, hey, you know what? That's the juice is not worth the squeeze right here. And you make the move. But if you got the ability to put people into those roster spots, I mean, your active lineup and it's okay, try to hang on there. Fahad asks, Jeremy Sochan over Kyle Kuzma because of injuries? ? You got Sochan over Kuzma because of the injuries.
Herb Jones out 2 to 4 weeks. That's breaking news.
Yeah.
I like Kuzma. I'm not too scared of Kuz getting hurt. I'm more worried about Kuz hurting other people.
Why you gotta bring that up? PTSD still kicking there. I'm not a big Kuzma guy at all. Just Sochan can disappear in an instant, and that to me, I don't think that he rises to the threshold of getting rid of Kyle Kuzma over that. We got other questions? Was that it? We got more? Daniel Paisley, Wendell Carter Jr. or Hawkins? What you got?
I'm a Hawkins guy. Speaking of Hawkins, CJ McCollum out 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks.
That means 2 to 3 weeks of Jordan Hawkins.
Yeah. Hawkins is, I mean, when he's got the ball in his hands, he's going to get value. Like, that's, I think, the bottom line. So he's probably got about 2 to 3 weeks of value right there. And I would ride that because Wendell Carter Jr.'s got enough challenges going on in Orlando. So I would ride the Hawkins wave. Okay, Mr. 101, Mike says, would you drop Hunter for Royce O'Neal?
I like it. You mean that hot hand?
Yep. I think it's going to be rough going for Hunter, even within the industry or the injury construct going on in Atlanta, where he might theoretically have more time. Let's give me Royce O'Neal and we'll keep it moving. JDW, is Toppin a good pickup for tonight? A lot of respect for the shorthand here. The
Obi Toppin against the Pelicans, who are banged up. You know, Toppin sometimes, it's so unpredictable, man. Sometimes he gets minutes and goes, does a lot with them, and other times he's just invisible.
I think
is this a good night? Is this the right night to play Obi Toppin?
Yeah, I kind of, because he's been a little bit under the radar, I think this is the night. Yeah, I'm within the construct of what you're doing, I'm good with it. Scott Foster fan 101 says Maxey or Fred Van Vliet and Suggs. This looks like a trade question. Nine cat head to head. It's an interesting one.
If you need depth, that improves your depth. If you don't need depth and you just want the best player, then go get Maxey. I can see it. It seems like a pretty fair trade.
Suggs is going off, man. Suggs is
good.
Like, Suggs is starting to fall into that category. We don't know what we don't know. Andre's keeping it moving. I'm in the Fred Van Vliet side could pay off on its own. I like the Fred Van Vliet Suggs side, even though I'm having a hard time parting with Maxey. I like that side. Another question: what's the least you'd take for Kawhi right now? Honestly, I don't know what the hell this is.
This is WD-40.
What is this?
This is what I would give up for Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. You'd give up a can of WD-40? That stuff does everything.
That's it.
Like it polishes metal.
That's as much as I would pay.
It removes the squeaky wheels. You know, it does all sorts of things. I think that Tobias Harris was actually, from earlier, was really like, you got to get, I mean, you rostered him, you picked him, you know, where you picked him is probably somewhat part of this discussion, but like, okay, if it works, second round value, just kind of put it there. You know, if it works on a per game basis, mind you, you're going to have to navigate that wave. So if it's a situation where you can't navigate that wave, second round value in the kind of games off scenario that we're going to likely look at with him is going to be more of a top 50 guy, more of a top 60 guy, if all goes well. So in those scenarios, I think the WD-40 becomes much more applicable here. If you can manage this, I think the bottom of where you want to go is something in the top 75 range, because you just don't get access to top second, third round players on a per game basis. You just don't. Like, it doesn't come under your waiver wire. Imagine him coming onto the waiver wire and what you would do to get him. You know, so that's the question there. And I think Tobias Harris is instrumental in explaining where I would go.
Keegan Murray or Grady Dick?
As a question between the two?
No, I mean, would you give up Kawhi for one of those guys?
I would not give up Kawhi, or I would not give up Keegan Murray for Kawhi. I would give up Grady Dick for Kawhi, because we got to see more across the board value for Grady Dick. It just, he's got to prove that over the long haul. Daniel Paisley asks, Misi or Magbo in keepers? I love this question. What you got, Steve? Your entire paycheck's on the line.
Ooh, I do like me some Eves Misi. I think I'm going with Misi.
Yeah. No, it's a good question. And I think Misi's got a lot of good upside in this league. I'm personally going to go with Magbo. Just seen too much. Can't get off that bet. It's a very valid question here, and taking Misi definitely is. It seems like where the odds would be in Misi's favor. But I like to play against those odds. Mr. 101, Mike, should I pick up Jose Alvarado, 9-cat, 16-team?
16 teams, I think you can, especially with McCollum being gone for a while. And so far it's been the Jordan Hawkins show, kind of, but Alvarado's going to play. He's going to get minutes. He's going to get a bunch of steals. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Alvarado, man, I wish that he could be more healthy because he's got stat set. He produces when he plays. I mean, he could pop off for 40, you know, in a given night. And when he goes off, New Orleans goes off. I like it. Pick him up. Absolutely. Daniel Paisley, huge shout out to Dr. A for one, being awesome, two, fighting through the voice struggles, and it's been an honor to be graced with your presence, Mr. Brewski. Well, Daniel Paisley's now my favorite person.
Wow, that was sweet. Thanks, man.
Yeah, seriously, all kidding. And honestly, you're fighting through it, Steve. It's inspirational to work next to somebody that's fighting through it, that's pushing, that's, you know, trying to get it done. And it helps me get through the day because sometimes I'm not able to get through the day myself with my own struggles with TOS. But it is it's good. You know, when people put it on the line and they push through it, it's good. All right. I think that's going to do it for this show. Thank you all. It's a big crowd today. And we are honored by your presence. There will be it's no Ethos After Dark tonight. So that's a little bit disappointing. And I missed the last show and I'm very disappointed about that. But we'll keep going. We'll have another episode tomorrow over the weekend. I believe Panda's in the house. That's always a great episode. One of the smartest basketball people that I know. Great Mike Pasador. And then we will be back onto that show schedule that I mentioned earlier at the top. And I don't even want to talk about it because I think I nailed it. I don't want to mess up the landing there. And that will do it for us, folks. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.